Good morning, everyone. Friends, our first reading from Sirach is describing the principles of family life. And by that family, I'm talking about mom, dad, brother, sister, son, daughter, the blood relation. And we're told that, and particularly about sons and daughters, they are to respect their fathers and pay homage to them in honor. And we are also told, especially the sons, mom has authority. And that certainly was true in my house. Mom had all the authority, and she was much sterner than dad. So in our second reading to the Colossians, St. Paul is speaking not only about blood relation, but now he is speaking to the greater family. Remember, there was a time when Jesus was in a house talking, and his mother came, and they told him, "Your mother is outside." And Jesus says, "Who's my mother? Who's my father? Who is my brother?" I don't think Mary was very happy that day either, like in the gospel. But he says, "The one who does the will of my Father in heaven, that is my mother, that is my father." What he's saying, that is my family. So St. Paul is speaking about this family, all those baptized. And in the gospel, we have the story of an encounter with the Holy Family. And as our opening prayer put forth, the Holy Family is put forth to all of us as the example. And we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And we call them that. We're very careful not to call them the perfect family. There is a perfect family, and that is the divine family. Do you know who I'm referring to? Do you know who the divine family is? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is the perfect family. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph of Nazareth, they are the holy family. And my friends, we call them that, and because it is true. And we have this idea and notion about them. And on the one side, we have the creche, and that gives you one version of them. And then we have icons that show them with halos, and everything's pristine. And that's the one families look at, and they think, that's a high ideal. We're asked to imitate that. And on the one hand, you got two saints and the Son of God in that family. And then we think about with Mary and Joseph, angels are talking to them, you know, and in times of doubt, they come and speak to them and they warn them about dangers and so on. And this leads one to imagine, one, how can that be an ideal family for us in a practical way? But more than that, sometimes people think that the Holy Family didn't have their share of troubles. My friends, so the church holds the Holy Family as an example for us. So the question is it too much to aspire to? And although we are not told in great detail about the very life of the Holy Family in the Gospels, we do get glimpses of things that had happened. And these glimpses are enough to show us that life on earth for the Holy Family was not perfect. Not at all. And my friends, not the way we would understand perfection. And we come to understand that the Holy Family had its shares of troubles and storms, as well as peace and joy. For example, I'm going to go through the scriptures to show you how this is. We're told, in the beginning with Joseph, Joseph was going to end his betrothal to Mary because she was pregnant and not by him. So he was going to go to a neighboring town to spare her any shame and was going to release her and send her off. And then, my friends, we have the time when Jesus is going to be born, and which we celebrated at Christmas. There was no time there was no place for them, no accommodations for them to take cover. So they had to go into a stable that was damp, filled with animals, and that stable wasn't even one of the best stables. It was a cliff that was hewn out by one of the farmers. So it was like a cave. And that is where Jesus is born, in there. And then now they have Mary and Joseph have the joy because they have their baby, their baby son, Jesus. But that joy is short-lived because almost immediately Jesus becomes the target of Herod's assassins, as do, we know, many children in that area. Herod was not having it. So birth is given, mom and dad are filled with joy, and then the horror of assassins coming. So they had to flee. They go to a foreign country. That foreign country happens to be Egypt. And even that's kind of odd, because God delivers his people out of Egypt, where they were enslaved. And now, in the turnaround, the Holy Family is running into Egypt, not to be enslaved, but to be protected. And here, the Holy Family learns what it is to be what we would understand to be able to find protection. And then finally, back in their own country, they had to find a place where they could begin life all over again. So they settled in Nazareth. And then in the scriptures, we're told one time in Jerusalem, following, that's the one thing Joseph and Mary did, they were very faithful, and they held to tradition, and they would go up into the temple. And on one occasion, they go to the temple, and there's two very holy people, very what I call the temple dwellers, Simeon and Anna. And they speak words to Joseph and Mary that they don't understand either. And as a matter of fact, we're told Mary is a little bit troubled by what is said by Anna, who's a prophet. And Simeon, a holy man, he was the priest of the temple at the time. And then we come to today's story. Jesus, we're told, is 12 years old. And during that visit to Jerusalem, Jesus gets lost. Joseph and Mary sought him with anxiety in their hearts, we're told. And then when they do encounter him, Jesus seems to be kind of, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know where I would be? Children, don't talk to mom and dad like that. It won't go well. Joseph and Mary are extremely holy people, so their reaction is different. But I suspect if our children did that now, what do you think, Jeremy? What do you think happened if your child spoke to you that way? What are you looking for me for? What do you know? Do you know I was going to be at the store? Huh? And my friends, there is also the passing of Joseph. Even though we are not told when and where, but we know that Joseph has died early on in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. We know this because Mary is at a wedding without her husband, the wedding at Cana. And Jesus is beginning his ministry. He is 30, 31. So, and Joseph has passed away already by then. Mary would not have been at that wedding without her husband. So that tells us, gives us an idea of when Joseph has passed away. Friends, and during his public life, then Mama Mary did not always understand what Jesus was talking about. She had anxiety and no doubt that Jesus would be taken over by the crowds, because if she didn't understand her son, the rest of the world wasn't understanding him either. And as I indicated, on one occasion, she went to collect him because they sent for her and said, your son's in the house and he's talking crazy, you know, or he's possessed by a demon or something. Come and get him. And she did, and that's where we hear Jesus say, who's my mother? And I thought, oh, gosh, it's Mary again. Has to listen to Jesus say something like that. But I suspect Mary, who understood a great deal, and I suspect Father Mark is misunderstanding what Jesus is really doing, which a professor pointed out to me, because I said, oh, well, Jesus, well, that's because, at the time I wasn't a priest, I was a student. That's because you do not understand, student Mark. Let me explain to you what is happening. And he did, and I'll save that for another time. Another time, far, far in the future. But my friends, what I'm getting at is we should not think that life was perfect for the Holy Family. And then it gets even darker as later Mary would witness the tide turn against her only son. The authorities would unjustly charge him and take him. And finally comes a time with great sorrow of him being treated like a criminal and crucified before her very eyes. And the sword of sorrow pierced her heart, as we're told, just as real as the sword that pierced Jesus' side into his heart on that cross. So then, with these examples put forth from scriptures, no one can claim that the Holy Family's life was sheltered, or that the Holy Family had a perfect life on this earth, or that it was trouble-free. It was anything but. But that is not to say that the Holy Family did not have their time of peace and solace. The time from 12 to 31, 32, we are not told. I would like to think that this is their time of peace, when people left them alone. And Jesus grew up with mom and dad. My friends, what I'm putting forward to you is that they are like every other family, really. They had experienced times of joy and peace and solace, and times of great challenge and heartache. And this is what the church is putting forth for us. This is why they become the example. Because had the Holy Family not truly experienced life on earth, they would not be a really good example then. I mean, they would be a good example, but one that would be impossible. So, my friends, it wouldn't be very, very realistic. But so what is it then about them? I think the most important thing is how they dealt with all of the life's experiences that were coming at them, particularly problems. And we look, how did they address the problems? What did they do? And that brings me to what makes them holy and a model for all families. Their family, their relationship with each other was founded on faith, was founded on tradition, which they held to, was founded on love. This is how they addressed life in this world. They trusted in God in all things. They exampled love and peace and understanding and forgiveness and compassion to each other, but that extended beyond their immediate family. They began to show this to others. Mary becomes mom to everybody, and she forgives. She forgave a world that did that to her son. You see, it wasn't just about them anymore. Love, forgiveness, faith, tradition was shared with anyone that they would encounter. The challenge of this world did not break them. The challenges that came to them united them and made them, I suspect, even more faithful and more understanding and more compassionate and certainly wiser. Therefore, what made the Holy Family what they were was everything I've just mentioned. And my friends, our Lord's grace to us allows us to be that Holy Family. Now, by baptism, all of you are now the Holy Family. Do you feel that way? Because you have strange looks on your face. Is it too much? Believe me, this is the easy homily. The other two ones got a harder homily than you're getting. You're getting the milk. They got the meat. My friends, by grace, all the very things that assures them of being the Holy Family assures you of being the Holy Family. All of that makes us holy people. We must do all that we can then. My friends, family is a precious gift to the church, but to society. Without family, there will be no society. You know this, don't you? And without family, the church would not exist as it does. So family becomes precious for many, many reasons. And my friends, So I put forth the Holy Family, the reasons why they become the Holy Family, but I brought up the Divine Family. You see, the Holy Family is modeled after the Divine Family. So if you think that the Holy Family is a hard example, I'm telling you there's even one greater than that. The Holy Family is modeled after the Divine Family of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father loves his only begotten Son and gives everything to him. And in return, the Son is totally absorbed in the Father. And the Holy Spirit unites them in love. They are the perfect family. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are the Holy Family. And now St. Nicholas, Roman Catholic Church in Gig Harbor, you are now the Holy Family. You got to know that, right? If you don't know that, you're not going to act that way. So I am your spiritual father, the pastor, and I'm telling you. And everything I've told you about what the nucleus family should be, mom, dad, brother, sister, is exactly the same thing that the parish must be. And I rack my brains trying to figure out how to do that. Because there's 1,300 family members at St. Nicholas. And they all have all kinds of personalities. Just right here is a whole bunch of different personalities right there. So me as the father, I'm trying to figure it all out. And it's okay because according to the scriptures, Mary and Joseph didn't understand either. Did they? Jesus tells them something and the scriptures said they didn't understand what he was talking about. So Mary and Joseph didn't understand either, but they figured it out as they grew. Isn't that what you families do? Don't moms, dads, don't you figure them out as they grow and as you grow? And that's what I'm doing. I'm figuring it all out as I go along with all of you. My brothers and sisters, you are by baptism a holy family, and it's something that our world desperately needs, holy families. And just as they experience things, you will too. Let their example of how they stay together and united in love and faith and fidelity to each other and to God, let that be the recipe for your families. Let that be the recipe for our church family. Amen.